You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the Locked On Wolves fan break website for articles and for past podcasts. Today, we're going to start our collaboration episodes over the next couple of days. I think this one is coming out. There were some technical difficulties on Megaphone, so if you're getting this one on May 15th instead of May 14th, I apologize. It's supposed to be Monday's episode. Nevertheless, we're still going to get you the content. This is the first of two crossover podcasts with Seth Topol of The Scoop. So when you hear his voice, when you hear him introducing stuff, it's because we're doing a crossover podcast on his show at the radio station. And so that's what's going on here. We're going to go over today the Timberwolves offseason. Then on the next episode, kind of what the postseason will do to the offseason for the NBA in general. So hope you enjoy these couple episodes. Thanks again for tuning into the show. On the next couple of days or shows, hope you guys enjoy them. Thank you.
We are joined on The Scoop here today talking a little Timberwolves basketball, joined by Colton Molesky, host of Locked On Wolves. Colton, the Timberwolves have been done for a while, but the NBA playoffs still going, and it looks like maybe the Cavaliers finally have met their match in the Boston Celtics.
That was a tough game for them the other day, for sure. I'll tell you this right now. If they're going to beat a Celtics team led by Brad Stevens, they're going to need more than just LeBron James trying to carry the team. Well, that may have worked against the Toronto Raptors. I think you do need Kevin Love. You do need guys like maybe Jordan Clarkson, George Hill, Kyle Korver. You do need somebody else to help step up and help kind of bear the load, because the switching and the defense that they were playing that kind of centered around holding LeBron James down did a really great job, especially when nobody else on the Cavs was knocking down shots.
And we'll talk a little NBA playoffs in a bit, but of course, talking a lot about what the Wolves may do this offseason, let's just start off with what was kind of a weird weekend news-wise for the Wolves. There were some reports that there was an altercation between Tom Thibodeau and GM Scott Layden, in which tensions mounted a little bit, but no real follow-up reports for anything as to what happened in that discussion. Of course, we also had the Rick Brunson news that he resigned as assistant coach after some allegations came out against him. And now some of the other assistants, the assistant coach that worked with Karl Anthony Towns has been dismissed. It just has been a really strange start to the offseason for the Wolves. Colton, what was your reaction to all of the various reports that we've heard here over the last week or so?
Well, you and I were texting about this a little bit, texting back and forth over the weekend. When you have some people attributing the reports to an anonymous source, my warning goes off a little bit that I don't want to put too much stock in it right away, just because I don't want to latch onto a that ends up being blown out of proportion. You don't want a situation where you really buy into a story and then it turns out that maybe he just threw a file at a desk and somebody's lamp broke and it wasn't a fax machine or printer or whatever it was through a glass door or something like that. You know, you don't want to blow it out of proportion too quickly when you only have one source and it's anonymous. That said, the concerning part, moreover than the fight or the altercation itself, was the illusion that this might be something that is a regular basis, where you have personnel, you have front office people screaming and yelling at each other on a regular basis. And that in and of itself would be far more concerning to me than to have this be a one-time occasion where people got really heated over one subject. To have this be a commonplace thing, and to have it be where there's such disarray and such strong opinions on opposite sides of almost everything, that this is happening week in and week out, that could spell some real trouble for the Timberwolves, especially when this offseason could be almost as critical as last offseason as far as the future of the team.
Yeah, there's already been quite a few rumors as to some things. Of course, with the Toronto Raptors having fired head coach Dwayne Casey, that opens up whether or not they are going to try to maybe retool after just not being able to do anything against the Cavaliers. And that has linked some various reports that maybe the Timberwolves try to move on from Andrew Wiggins and get somebody like DeMar DeRozan in return. Colton, in terms of any of those rumors that we've heard that have linked the Wolves to Toronto, would that be something that would be worthwhile for the Timberwolves to look into just to try to kind of shake things up a little bit on their roster?
Well, if I'm the Timberwolves and I think that they're going to rebuild or try and retool a little bit and that anybody is on the table, I would go for the OG and Obi over anybody else on that roster, I think. I like that he's a young player who you could have on a rookie contract, which really helps their books, I think, especially when you know that Butler and Towns are going to need contracts very soon. And I think that he is a very defensive presence. He's a pretty good shooter, and he can be kind of that 3-and-D guy, but his defense is where he really you would really get the return on him. And I think that putting that kind of defensive player, who not only is such a good defensive player now, but also has a really good defensive ceiling, I think putting him next to Jimmy Butler would be huge. They also need some forward presence, the Timberwolves do as well, that's not off the bench. So I think that would be a huge piece for them if they could grab somebody like that who's a young player who they could put into lineups, especially when you want to go big. You have Justin Patton, who you didn't see play last year. If you want to put those two guys in Towns and Taj Gibson into a lineup that's going to be super big, or you could put Ananobi playing more as a four and play small. I think there's a lot of places you could put him on the roster, and I think that his defense is going to be an immediate contribution for the Timberwolves team. And you do have the reports from Zach Lowe that the Timberwolves, it sounds like there's a lot of people who think the Timberwolves are going to keep making moves this offseason like they did last offseason, which makes it interesting to see what's kind of around the league. And if you're looking at teams, especially in the Eastern Conference, when you have the 76ers and the Boston Celtics really powering up, you look at some rosters and you think there's a couple rosters in mind, especially teams that might have been even in the playoffs this year that might just want to blow it up a little bit or trade away pieces for more draft picks and look more towards the future as opposed to the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think the LeBron decision could certainly have a huge ripple effect. If he decides that he's going to go to the Western Conference, then I think Cleveland will probably level things and start from the ground floor. So you look at a lot of guys on that roster that would certainly be appealing in trades throughout the offseason, and it's going to be fascinating to see where that decision ends up going. I mean, he certainly could end up staying, and I mean, there are guys like Kawhi Leonard who are apparently available, and depending on where the Cavaliers get with that lottery pick, they might have enough ammo to go get Kawhi Leonard, and then all of a sudden it feels like they've have reloaded. So it's going to be a fairly intriguing offseason, to say the least, with a lot of expected movement and a lot of free agent interest. And one guy that I don't know if we thought was going to be on the free agent market, that being Jamal Crawford. And a couple weeks ago, Crawford declined his player option and became an unrestricted free agent. Colton, did that news surprise you at all that Crawford elected to head elsewhere instead of just staying here for another year?
It did a little bit, just because last offseason it sounded like he had a chance to go play with LeBron, and he picked the Timberwolves, and he picked playing with Tibbs and playing with Butler and Towns and the young cast with a veteran like Tibbs, and you had veterans like Taj Gibson on the team. So it is a little interesting that he would leave after one season, when last summer it really did seem like he had his choice of a few teams and he wanted to go to the Timberwolves more than it felt like he had to go to the Timberwolves. But a lot of stuff happened over the season. A lot of locker room stuff, it sounds like, is going on. Plus, if you add in, if you really do believe the stuff about Tibbs and all the stuff going on in the front office, maybe he saw some disarray there or a little bit of a chaos that he didn't want to necessarily dive into next season. And so he decided to walk there. Well, some people will be upset about it, and I do love Jamal Crawford. I think he's a great guy. I think that he's a great locker room presence. He was playing the most minutes of any bench player for the Timberwolves and he was just the worst defensive player on the perimeter in the NBA at guard. So while you miss maybe his some of those games where he has 20 points off the bench, the defensive presence that he brought was the wrong way for the Timberwolves. He was not bringing the defense that you hope for them, especially off the bench. And he wasn't a 3-and-D guy. He was more just a 3 guy. And so I think that they can get better. If they do a good job, there are better pieces out there to get on the bench for the Timberwolves. And I think that they can bring in some of those pieces. And while it's a bummer to see a great guy like Jamal Crawford leave, I think it might be end up for the better for the Timberwolves.
Colton, before we go to some specific areas of need for the Wolves in this offseason, I did want to ask one other question about a coaching move that has happened this offseason, during the playoffs. Stan Van Gundy being let go by the Detroit Pistons, and he had the same dual role that Tom Thibodeau does of president of basketball operations and also head coach. So you see a guy like Van Gundy be let go after a disappointing season for the Pistons, and now you've got a very select group that still has those dual roles, that being Greg Popovich of San Antonio, and he really has no involvement in the operational side of the basketball court. So he's got that role, and then Tom Thibodeau does as well. And we've seen guys in recent years like Doc Rivers lose that president of basketball operations title and still hang on as head coach. I'm not suggesting that this may happen anytime soon, but is there a little bit more pressure on Thibodeau now he is one of the last coaches to have these dual titles? And if the Wolves continue to get into the playoffs but not advance, could we see him lose that president of basketball operations title?
Well, I think there is a little more pressure on Tibbs just because everybody knows that it's him calling all the shots, whether he's signing players or whether he's drawing up plays for the team. And so I think there's a little more pressure when you do see guys like a Van Gundy get fired, when you see guys like a Doc Rivers forced to kind of surrender his operational side of the job that he was doing. And I think that there is pressure added there. I think that it's just really tough to multitask in the NBA, especially with all the different players that are in the NBA. There's so much talent and there's so much prep that is needed for every game that you go into. I mean, we said this a lot last year, and maybe if you're a Rockets fan, you're not saying this, but I think if you're a middle of the pack team in the playoffs, which the Timberwolves definitely are, if you're kind of a middle of the road, one of those teams that could be anywhere from a fourth seed to an eighth seed in the playoffs, it really is, anybody has a great opportunity to win. You saw the Phoenix Suns, they have young talent. You have the Chicago Bulls had a good stretch for a month there. You can't just take any games for granted, which makes, I think, coaching harder. And so when your coach is also trying to be a general manager, I think that just puts a lot of pressure on him and puts a lot of pressure on the moves he makes, both for the basketball team and for when he's trying to make moves as far as contract and when he's trying to draw up a playbook for the next opponent. And so I think it's better when coaches decide to just go one way or the other. And I think while that won't happen this season, I think you eventually do see a team ask Tibbs to stick with coaching or move over to the front office side of things instead of doing both, because it is really hard to do both things and be really good at both of them.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Looking at how the Wolves will approach this offseason, of course, one of the big bench pieces that they brought in during the season was Derrick Rose, and Rose certainly was capable offensively of providing a spark for the Wolves, and now there are some reports that they are definitely interested in bringing him back. Considering what happened with Jamal Crawford, would this be a good fit for the Wolves to bring Derrick Rose back to be a part of their bench?
I think that if you can get a really, really good deal for Derrick Rose, you probably should do it, just because right now, you need some sort of offense off the bench. You need something to spark them. If you can, I don't know what teams they're in talks with right now, or what teams they're kind of sending out feelers to as far as for other players. What they really need is a great 3-and-D guy, and if they can grab somebody like that in the offseason, I think that would really help them. But in the meantime, you also do need depth. And I think there are ways that you can run a few different guard lineups that are still really fun and could really be productive around Towns and run a couple guards around Towns. And so with that in mind, I think that you probably should keep Derrick Rose. I think that he does offer some lineup versatility. I think that he does do some things for the offensive side of the ball. Again, his defense isn't great, so you still have that negative, but it's not as bad as like a Jamal Crawford. And I think that you can pair him with Teague. I know Tyus Jones, everybody's worried about his minutes. I hope that there's better minute management over this next year. Not even that I'm worried. I don't even want to rehash the argument of Jimmy Butler shouldn't be playing 41 minutes a game, but just that you have different guys playing so that you're offering more lineup versatility. In that regard, I hope that there's guys like Derrick Rose and Tyus Jones getting more minutes. That said, Tyus Jones just doesn't seem like the guy who wants to step up and be a scorer as well as a playmaker, and I think that you see that from Derrick Rose. And so to have a couple different kinds of point guards on the roster, never a bad thing. And if you can get him on the cheap, I think that that is definitely the move to make for the Timberwolves.
Colton, looking at some potential free agents, how do the Wolves convince them that they can come in and can play some meaningful minutes, considering what we've seen over the last couple of years?
Well, I think right now it's almost more important that you have to convince them that the team is of one mind and a sound mind. I think with the stories and the talk about Tibbs kind of losing control with office personnel or of fights breaking out all the time, whether those are true or not, those are the stories being talked about around the Timberwolves right now. And so if you're the Timberwolves, I think it's almost more important, as opposed to convincing a player that he has minutes, convincing other players and free agents that this is a team that's on the same track and they're all on the same page and they all have like-minded goals to be successful, and that this isn't a team that's going to cause a lot of disarray and there's going to be a lot of locker room problems, but that they're all on the same track. And that track is a trajectory to getting back to the playoffs and being a successful playoff team. I think that's more the story you need to preach to free agents right now, because if you're a free agent and you think that your coach loses his mind every day in the front office and that the locker room is going to be toxic, I don't know if you want to go to the Timberwolves, even if you're playing with guys like Jimmy Butler and Karl-Anthony Towns.
Yeah, that's very true. Another potential move that the Wolves could make this offseason would be trying to unload the contract of Gorgui Dieng, and that most likely would require use of their first-round pick. In terms of just freeing up some salary cap room, would that be a worthwhile venture for the Wolves to look to just try to unload that contract?
I think so. I think you really do have to try and offload that contract. I think that there are going to be a few players. I don't know if they have a chance of getting a guy like Kawhi, but I think that if you can free up some cap space, you can get some real good role players. And so while a bunch of teams will be looking at guys like Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James this summer, the Timberwolves just need to find a couple key role players that they can pay a decent contract to and get back really solid, like 21 minutes out of per game from a few different players, 21 to 50 minutes. Those kind of guys are going to step in and really play well off the bench. And so if I'm the Timberwolves, getting rid of that contract is really important. If you can somehow figure out how to get rid of Cole as well, that would be crucial. The problem is that they really put their cap in a crunch by giving Wiggins that max contract, especially before figuring out if he was really up to the task or not. So if you can make any moves like that to free up some sort of money, I think that's the move you have to make. And I know you're giving up some young talent there, but you do need to also grab some veterans as well that you know for a fact can produce X level of talent. And so that will be a very important move for the Timberwolves to free up cap space. And you got to remember, too, you have a young guy, Justin Patton, who is a 17th pick in the first round, and you haven't even seen what you have from him yet. So even if they don't have that first pick and they don't trade away the Utah pick, and that late pick is kind of your only one, you still have a relatively high pick in Justin Patton that you don't know what you're going to get, and you can kind of see what talent you have there. So if Timberwolves fans are worried about young talent not being there, if they do have to trade away a pick to get rid of the Gorgui contract, you still have fine talent that you're going to find out about this year in Patton.
Colton, can you hang around for one more segment?
Absolutely.
Sweet. We'll take a quick break, but we'll talk plenty more basketball. We'll talk some NBA playoffs as well. When we come back, we're joined by Colton Molesky of Locked On Wolves. We'll be back after this here on The Scoop.
Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.